Hey, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today we have the privilege and honor of having here to share with us the beloved, beautiful, precious, dear Joanna Cherry.
Hey there, Iris.
Welcome, Joanna.
Thank you so much.
You know, last night I got really, really inspired because I was reading, some things in your book, Living Mastery. What is it?
Living Mastery, yeah.
Your first book, and I read the foreword that I had written. I forgot that I had done that.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I was looking is because some people visited here and were reading your books and had some really profound experiences. And so I was looking at what I had written to you about you and about how you live what you teach.
Oh, thank you. That certainly is a goal for all of us, isn't it?
Well, I think you do it. And you certainly support and mentor me in doing that.
Well, and vice versa. Vicey versey. You're a wonderful teacher for me as well. It's really great that we have different strengths and we really help each other with all of them, you know.
Oh, yeah, and we all do. And and today we're going to talk about forgiveness. And yesterday was National Forgiveness Day. And
isn't that great?
Oh, it's just such a leap in consciousness to have National Forgiveness Day.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. I don't know. Is this the first year that's happened? Or?
As far as I know, I've never heard of it before. Have you?
I don't think I have either. Huh. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'll tell you where I heard it from. Is from my son, who had just been to Cafe Gratitude. So somebody there knew about it in in Berkeley.
Uh-huh.
National Forgiveness Day. And I've been thinking a lot about what that means.
Yeah.
And what's passed for forgiveness in the past has been sort of a no pass, which is, I forgive you, you asshole.
Yeah.
I forgive you for being an asshole.
Yeah. I forgive you even though you don't deserve it.
And that's a completely upside down experience of forgiveness. You and I have been talking a lot about one of my teachers, Lisa de Longchamp, who created Wing Song, said, the only thing we ever have to forgive ourselves for is getting our Messiah cards printed prematurely.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Isn't that good, though?
Yeah.
And, you know, while we were meditating on this, I was thinking about Oprah. And I was thinking about one of the things that I feel that she has to give people is that she's mastered her weight over and over and then lost that mastery.
Yeah.
And I read an article recently about she had not been showing her whole body on the front of her magazine, only her face.
Yeah.
And that she was ashamed and embarrassed.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, she is such an example of being able to be out there, share where she is, be a beautiful woman no matter what weight she is.
Yeah.
And share her process, her struggles and everything. And I think that, like, she kind of represents food addiction, but there's all sorts of addictions.
Yeah.
That have to do with unforgiveness.
Yeah. I guess so. Well, like, what do you mean?
Well, for me, even as I've gone through that process, you know, where I've had my body more like I really wanted it to be and less like I didn't want it to be, that even when I got really, really, really determined to take off excess weight, and I feel like I've always just been a little overweight, you know, not quite how I wanted to be.
Uh-huh.
And making that so I felt unworthy to really enjoy life.
Yeah, I do think that is a huge thing for a lot of people. I agree with that. Like, I'm not good enough. I can't be happy, like you say. I can't live fully until I look the way I want to look, and that's pretty ridiculous for us to hold that, you know, hold that against ourselves, hold that against our life and our joy. That's pretty wild, huh?
Well, and it's making it impossible to get that other people love us too.
Yeah.
So in looking at this forgiveness thing, I've seen that, and I'm just using Oprah as an analogy here. I don't know exactly how to say this in words. I just have gotten it with our meditating on forgiveness, is that sometimes I've had to forgive myself 1,000 times a day for still not having it the way I wanted it to be.
Wow. Huh.
1,000 times a day. Just stop.
Takes up a lot of time.
What?
Takes up a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And yet that's the work, is forgiving as many times
yeah.
as it takes.
Yeah.
And so, and that is the way we get to the perfection that we desire, is doing the forgiveness. That it's not here yet, that that our Messiah cards are printed and now they're out of date and they no longer apply. They're expired.
And I also think there's, you know, there's a lot to be said for having it be okay that whatever weight we are, whatever our appearance is, the appearance is just the physical, you know, and we are each a divine spirit. We are a goddess or a god, and that we can love ourselves exactly the way we look at this time, age or weight or whatever it is, and have it be just great. I love the things, I forget the exact names, but there's things like the Fat Women Society and all this, you know, and they have a blast. And I think there's a great lesson in that stuff for us, that we've put way too much attention on appearance, way too much, like you say, value and worth, and we don't have to. We don't have to be stuck in that groove.
Well.
Speak for yourself, she says.
I didn't say that.
I heard it, though, in that giggle. I heard it.
No, what you heard really is, this is what I thought I was saying with the giggle, is that you brought up about 15 things that are issues about this that I wanted to say, and then I just had a total blank about all of them. I know, when you were talking about the Society for Large Women.
Yeah.
I think that's
the politically correct.
I think they call it fat women.
Oh, do they?
I think so.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. But Lisa, my teacher for about 8 years, was a master of manifestation. And I remember her being 64 and having this knockout figure. I mean, just fabulous little bitty waist, you know, size 4. And she used to do this class called Youngering, and then she talked about being the most beautiful you. And there was one woman who was a little overweight. She wore about a size 12, which was big for her, being very short. And then there was a woman that weighed about 300 pounds. And the woman that was a little overweight was talking about how she never had a date, she never went out with anyone, she didn't want anyone to see her naked. And then the really heavy woman, you know, like an opera singer, she said she went out all the time, she wore a bikini. The only reason she didn't wear a bikini is because nobody would know she had one on. They would think she was at the nude beach. And she had dates all the time, and she always had a lover, and she was always happy and buying new clothes, outrageous clothes. And the woman that was a little bit overweight, that wore the size 12, said, "How can you do it? How can you take off your clothes with a man and make love?" And she said, "Honey, somebody that goes out with me knows a size 8 is not going to jump out when I take off my clothes." And to me, it was so inspiring. It was such a statement of total self-acceptance and where she was.
Oh, that is great. Wow.
Isn't
that's a
that
lesson for everybody.
Yeah. I kind of have a theory everybody already knows what we look like naked anyway.
Yeah, it's probably somewhere inside.
But the other thing is, in I know one of the things you want to do is a process that's a relationship healing today.
Yeah, if we have time.
Well, how much time does it take?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, probably 10 minutes, 15 maybe.
We'll just plan on starting around 2:30, so we have plenty of time.
Okay.
But what I was thinking about in my meditation is that I never have to forgive anybody for what they actually did. I sort of feel like what I'm really forgiving is how it makes me feel. And I've really looked at this, and I've seen that the things that are hard to forgive are the things that make us feel bad about ourselves, the way we feel if we see somebody do a certain thing. I'm not exactly saying it good in words, but you know what I mean, so you explain it.
Well, I guess that's a really valid point for all of us, that we're all different, and any one action from another person, say it's a friend of ours, some people are going to get upset and some people are not even going to notice the same action. So really everything comes from our own mind and our own heart. We are the center of our own universe. And so for us to learn how to take responsibility for what we feel and know that it comes from us and not from the other person is really an amazing step. And I did want to make sure that we mentioned today a beautiful book, and it's been out for years. I'm not sure how long, 10 years maybe. And I'm pretty sure the name of it is Radical Forgiveness. And it really is a powerful teaching and learning about how everything that happens to us with another person is really co-created for the highest good of both. For the highest good of both, even though it doesn't, you know, a lot of times, most of the time, it doesn't feel like it is if we get angry or upset. But that there is a hidden gem within our getting upset, and that is to find whatever has caused us to feel angry or upset or unhappy or whatever it is, and to clear that from our own consciousness so that we're not, you know, we don't have to do a knee-jerk dance if someone does that kind of thing again, that we can look at it and say, oh, okay, that's where they are, and we can choose to be around that kind of behavior or not. That's our choice, but we don't have to have a charge on anything that anybody does.
They don't have to be wrong because they're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they can still be the wonderful God being that they are, doing their best, and we don't have to get upset about it. We can bless them. You know?
Well,
and do the same with ourselves when we do a pratfall, you know, and do something that somebody else feels hurt by, and we can see why they feel hurt by it or angered by it, and do our best to make amends. So there's gems on both sides.
Well, just often those gems on both sides, you know, where somebody gets really ticked off, is like, a lot of times I haven't gotten past the point of, this is a gift I'd like to return to Nordstrom, please. I want my money back for this one. But, you know, if we look at, see, what the purpose of this planet is I think of this planet a lot of times as, okay, as if we had gone to an amusement park and we said, okay, give us the wheelie, wheelie, scary one. Give us the one with, you know, all of this list of,
yeah,
of maladies that's like a roller coaster, and our only job is not to believe the appearance.
Yeah, and going to the House of Mirrors with all those distortions.
Oh.
Yeah.
and to come out knowing I am one with God, I am one with all people, I am one with all life, I am one with all love, I am the source of all good. To know the truth and to love ourselves when we fall short of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and to make amends when we can, you know. Like there's a person in town, a vendor at the farmer's market, and I did something a couple weeks back that inadvertently, I had no idea it would disturb him, but I could tell that it did. And so then last week I took him a little gift, a special something, and it just kind of made everything okay again. So we can do things like that.
Well, you know, I think it would be best if you told the whole story, because it illustrates how so many times people have felt that we didn't love them or we were just blowing them off because,
yeah,
we did, in our mind, this is what should have been done there.
Yeah. Well, this person is a beautiful flower grower. He especially loves lilies, and so he has his lilies at the farmer's market every Monday and Thursday in Mount Shasta. And so a couple of weeks back, I had bought some wonderful flowers from him, and we were just talking, you know, talking and laughing and sharing, and then another customer came up to wait. And so my assumption was that he would want to wait on this lady, and so I quickly broke our conversation off, but I could tell that he was kind of shocked and upset, that I didn't realize that people were more important to him than the flowers and the sales, you know. So I just kind of thought about that, and then so last week I took him one of my products, a beautiful lotus picture, a laminated lotus picture that has a prayer for happiness, may all beings be happy and free, on it. And he loved it, and it was just, and I said, you know, you've been so generous with me. I didn't mention anything else, but I just said, you've been so generous. I'd just like to give you, and I know you love flowers. And he says, I especially love the lotus, and that was what was on the picture. And it just kind of made everything easy and right and happy again between us. So it is lovely and easy to do those things when we can see that we've disturbed someone.
Yeah, but you didn't say anything about the actual event that.
No, I didn't think that didn't feel like it was the right thing to do.
Oh.
It just felt right to just give him a gift.
Yeah.
And make sure that I knew that he, you know, he knew that I valued our relationship, our friendship. So that was really nice. Felt so good.
I feel like I've done that a lot, and then people have taken it as a rejection. So I'm just really looking at that for myself, how I see one picture and I've thought in my mind that the other person could see the picture I have in my mind.
Exactly.
So obviously we're on the same page. They know exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then finding out that it's not like that for them at all.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all so different, and we all think we assume when we feel something or do something and with a certain motivation that it's going to be completely understood, but that's usually not the case. In fact, you remember Werner Erhard, he had a phrase that said, assume makes an ass out of you and me. So it is, assuming is pretty unwise, I guess, basically.
Well, it's also kind of trying to make people live within the box that is your reality and your worldview. There's some people that I won't play with because they insist that if I'm there, it means that I agree with the way they say the world is.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. And I think almost all of us are that way to some extent, but some people are a lot like that. It's true.
Wow. Well, I guess I just wanted I didn't finish this part about what I believe the purpose of the world is. I see it as sort of a, you know, this really exciting ride that we paid to be on the roller coaster, and then and then a lot of us are screaming, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't say I'd do this.
Get me off this ride.
Yeah, this isn't the ride I said. I didn't choose this. I didn't pay for it. I didn't get a ticket, and let me off.
Yeah, or we look in one of the distorted mirrors and believe it, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're bringing me to another point I was thinking of before when we were meditating, is that in the Course in Miracles it says the thing you think your brother has done to you has not occurred.
Yeah, I still have to wrap my mind around that one. I know it has to do with the ending of time, and that we have believed in the linearness of time, and that and that we are all, we never have left our divine home, our true divinity, and the things that we are experiencing in this world, in some way, they are illusion, they are unreal. And so, there will come a time when we just totally know and feel that, and it will be as if, you know, I mean, obviously it did happen in time in some way, but it will be our feeling or our experience will be that it never happened. Pretty amazing. I that's always been something I go, huh? Well, anyway, huh?
I'm doing it right now.
Like... What the heck does that mean?
I'm like, holy smoke, Catwoman, we've gone way beyond. Well, no, this is really important. It's really important because it's the whole, also the premise of Ho'oponopono and the violet flame is that you remove the cause, core, effect, record, and memory with the steps. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And how I get that is we're saying to a person that may have offended us or we have a judgment about, please forgive me for having this judgment about you and seeing you this way. And we're asking the divine to please forgive us for seeing the divine's creation as less than divine. And then the thank you, I love you, really releases it.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the mirrors, the house of mirrors.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing that my work seems to be, beloved, I am presence, please forgive me for all the ways I've ever distorted your perfect energy and created something less than perfect. And asking my memories of that to be redeemed. And all that energy to be dissolved in the violet flame and returned to the source of good to be reused joyously and constructively.
But I think it's real, there's a real cautionary point in there too. When we say that something isn't perfect, that's our view. That's our view of it. That something isn't perfect. But when a God being, as we are, we get lost, we start believing in the house of mirrors and the roller coaster ride and stuff, and then we start to judge it, I think the judgment and the saying this is not perfect is actually the first mistake that we make. And that if we were able to say this is perfect, right here and right now, I've been doing my very best, and so I love everything that's happened. I love everything I am. I love everything around me. And if we're able to do that, then it's like everything that we have called unperfect or used to view or could view as imperfect really does become a happy and joyous and loving thing, a beautiful beautiful in every way, you know. So I think it's real important what we that we call something imperfect when it really we can call it perfect right now, right here, you know, just the way it is.
Like well, I think you're I think it covers it to say to the divine, forgive me for seeing it as imperfect.
Yeah, that's a really great one.
Because I feel like there are two worlds. There is the world of God's perfection, and then there's the Warner Brothers world that we've made up together.
Yeah.
That we've created the holy instant for, that we've said is real together.
Yeah, but even that world is, we don't have to call it imperfect or bad or wrong or anything like that. We don't. I'm feeling more and more that that's the way I want to be with it.
Well,
and I know, you know, there's still all kind of horrible things that happen in the world, cruel and all that stuff, but somehow, I don't know, somehow is seeing it as all okay And not to say not to change something or not to do something about something that we see, you know. But somehow that we'd never let it into that bracket of imperfection or bad or wrong in our own minds and hearts, I think really helps the whole thing to come unloose, you know, unloosened from the difficult places, from the cruelties and all of that.
Well, you're saying what Werner said, which is to move on, choose where you are.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Choose where you are and say this is the perfect place for now.
Yeah, for this moment. Yeah. Pretty profound stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Joanna, I want you to do your relationships process. I think it's probably what most people are working on the most.
Okay. Okay. We'll just kind of fly by the seat of our pants here. And for those of you that are listening, if... You know, I move a little too fast because it's radio and we can't give a whole lot of silent time. Just jot things down and you can complete it on your own. But basically, if there's someone, it could be someone that's living or someone that's passed on. It can be a parent, a sibling, a friend, an ex, husband or wife. A child, it can be anything. But just think of one person that you haven't forgiven for something, and place them now kind of in front of you, maybe 3 feet away, and you're sitting and you're facing each other. And the first thing to do is surround the whole process with forgiveness. Ask your divine self to surround the whole process with the energy of forgiveness, such that nothing that goes out from you, nothing that you speak, has the power to harm anyone. It doesn't go out from you as harm. And so first of all, if there's like anger, great unforgiveness on your part, speak what you need to speak, and don't hold back. Sometimes the little child, especially in us, feels the need to come even with somebody. We feel like we've been put down or we've been hurt. And so, first of all, with it all surrounded with forgiving energy, just speak. Speak the words you need to speak. When you did this, I felt horrible and how could you have done that, and I hate you, and you know, and anything that you feel, just let it come out. Just let it come out. And be honest with how you feel with this person at this time. And if you want to, you know, punch them, you can do that too. Want to sock them. And so when that is done, and it may take more than one time of doing that, if there's something that's been a very great hurt or very, you feel very, very angry about, you may need to just do this part for, you know, a number of times, but do always remember to ask your divine self to surround it so it doesn't, any angry energy doesn't go out as harmful from you. And then do that until it feels like you're ready to move on. You know, you've released your anger and now you're ready to move on. And of course the old pillow pounding can also be great with that. Where you're not even engaging the person yet. You're just, you know, pounding the pillow and hollering and getting things out that way. But it is important to not stuff the anger down. Not try to cover it over, because it just grows. It just stays in there and grows in the darkness. So it's important to release it some way or another, but do it harmlessly.
I have an example of that.
Okay.
one time I was having a really hard time with my kids. I mean, they just weren't listening to me. They weren't obeying me. They just wouldn't do anything I wanted them to do. And so I threw myself down on the floor, and I kicked and screamed and pounded my fist, and I said, I mean, I just had a full-on tantrum. I said, I never get my way. I don't get to be the parent. I don't get to, I don't get to do it right. It's always messed up. You guys are, you know, and I just went on and on, and I cried until I had cried it out. And at first, my kids were just standing there horrified, and then they began to grin. And I felt like for the first time they really saw me as a person and not just a parent, you know. I mean, they saw me as all ages, a girl, a friend, a daughter, a mother.
Wow.
And after that, they had this little joke, and it was like among men. It was like, don't get her started. We don't want her to embarrass us in the store. You know, don't get her to do another one of those tantrums. And I had so much fun with that because it was usually them insisting and being bratty in the store. You know? So after that, I was just sort of like, don't get me started. Don't get me started in this store.
That's great.
And so, they were already pretty sure they had the weirdest mother on earth, you know.
So there we have a perfect example of really letting it out. Great.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was harmless, too.
Yeah, it was harmless. It was fun. It was playful. And I made a real connection with my children.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I mean, a real connection, not me playing my role and them playing their role. And
right.
You know, it was just sort of an understanding on every level. I can't explain it more than that.
Wow. That's great. That's great.
So after that, what do you do?
Yeah, so now you're sitting and you're facing the person after you feel like you've gotten let loose of whatever you were holding against them, and then you say things to them like, you know, I know that the only truth between us is love, but that's the only truth between us, and I forgive you for whatever I perceived in the past, and I ask your forgiveness for feeling, you know, angry toward you and for seeing you in a warped way, and I love you, and basically you just affirm your relationship that love is the only truth, and it always has been the only truth between you and this other person who is really your friend, no matter what the relative status might be. This person is a friend. And so just to recognize that all is well and to then embrace each other, seeing yourself embracing them and them embracing you and laughing and smiling and maybe crying and everything really being okay. And there is a good thing to be said for doing this very quickly or immediately, and that is that we really don't know how long most of the time that we're going to be in a body on earth, in a physical body. And if somebody leaves and we haven't forgiven them, then it makes it much worse. So, in fact, there was a wonderful story in the latest magazine, The Pure Inspiration, which Iris and I both love and recommend, called Pure Inspiration. And it's about two little boys, and they had a misunderstanding, and they weren't speaking to each other for a few weeks. And then finally they were at the same party, I think, for the sister of one of them. And they made eye contact finally, and then And then they said, I'm sorry. You know, both of them said it, I'm sorry. And then everything was perfectly okay again. And then a couple of weeks later, one of them was actually run over by a car and killed. And so, I mean, it's not to suggest that these things are going to happen all the time, but and non-forgiveness is, someone has said this perfect phrase about it, that it was, that it's like taking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Well, yes,
yeah.
It is, exactly. And what's that one about acid? Acid does more harm to what it's stored in than what it's poured on.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, so unforgiveness is a poison in our own hearts, and not only our hearts, but our bodies, you know. People can make themselves ill with unforgiveness. And so it's very important for our own sake, and we can even think, if it helps, that I'm forgiving for me, and it will benefit the other person, but I'm the one that needs to forgive. And so that's kind of a help to get started, too, with something that's been real difficult.
Yeah. Well, I want to invite people to call if anybody has something that's hard for them to forgive, that would like to work with Joanna and me on really doing this. One of the things Lisa used to say is everything that anybody does that hurts us is done out of blindness.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And I thought at that time, of all the times I had been in so much pain myself that I couldn't even see or think about what was going on with the other person, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It took me getting my head up above water to really see and feel what other people were feeling or how what I did might affect them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it even is true if someone is doing something on purpose to hurt or harm someone else, that comes from a blindness inside of there being so much pain there that they just don't seem to have any other option, that is the best that they know to do at that time.
Well, it's sort of like, since this isn't going to turn out, coming from past belief and unforgiveness of the past, since this isn't going to turn out and you're going to hurt me, I'll hurt you first.
Yeah, that's exactly where a lot of people are coming from. Yeah.
Wow. Holy bat shit, Catwoman. you know, I was going to write it down, the toll-free worldwide number, and I forgot to do it again.
Oh.
to ask people if you want to call and work on something that's hard for you to forgive. See, what I've seen is that the real one underneath always is forgiving myself. It's, in other words, I haven't been really mad at somebody for doing something in my movie. I have been mad at myself because I really know at the core of my being that I'm the one making up this movie.
Yeah.
So it's like forgiving myself that's still in my movie.
Mm. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Or that I have believed that,
yeah,
to be true.
Yeah, or that you have judged it, whatever it was, that you've called it imperfect or bad or wrong.
And myself bad or wrong for creating it.
Right.
Well, I think, though, it's still the thing we need to forgive ourselves for is not coming up somehow to how we think we should be for God. I can't explain it more than... Hello?
Do we
have a caller?
Hi, Iris.
Hi, Bev. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Bev.
Hi. It's a great show. Thank you.
Thank you. What's going on, Bev? Do you got a forgiveness?
Well, what I wanted to do was share something really quickly, and I had said something to somebody last week. It was so, I couldn't believe it came out of my mouth. It was such an inconsiderate thing, and it just came out. And as soon as I said what it was, I just kept apologizing and saying, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And the other person just said, oh, okay. And then an hour later, they came back, and they said, you know, I really want to acknowledge your apology. And it's really important for me to give you that that recognition and that acceptance of the apology.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And I'm just so moved to share that. So it's good to apologize, and it's really good for the other person to accept the apology.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Wow.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Really important. Really important. Thank you.
Thanks, Bev. You got anything else today? Bev?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really angry with my daughter.
Okay.
And she is not letting me have the contact I want to have with my grandchildren.
Okay. So, what do you need to forgive her for besides that?
I don't know.
Well, it doesn't even need to be any besides that. What would you like to say to her? And we surround this with forgiveness so that it doesn't go out to harm her.
What I'd like to say is that I'm really angry that she's using my grandkids as a way of hurting me, because it's hurting them too. And I'm really angry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you might want to do this again on your own and really sort of beat the pillow and pound the floor and throw a tantrum. And really,
I can do that.
Yeah. And really
I
let the anger. Yeah, and really let the anger out. And do you have any idea where she's coming from? What she's held against you that she might do something like that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so is it something you need to forgive yourself for? Or
No.
Okay.
We just have a big difference of opinion.
Yeah.
What about your ex-husband? Is there? I know he was instrumental in this.
No, he wasn't. He didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, I thought it was when he told her that she was in an accident.
Oh, actually, yes. That's the origin of it.
Okay. So maybe we need to go to that, Bev.
Okay.
So why don't you tell Joanna that?
Okay, so really briefly, what happened is when my daughter was 7 years old, her father, ironically, had just finished some of Werner Erhard's work. And so in being completely honest and giving full disclosure, he told my 7-year-old daughter that I never wanted to be pregnant with her, that I was very depressed when I found out I was pregnant, and it was a really unhappy time for me, and that she needed to know that when she was 7 years old, when I wasn't around for her to talk to me about it.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty hard stuff.
And I think that's why she's been mad at me for all these years. Even though I've said everything that I could say, you know, still it's that psychic thing that's within her.
Uh-huh. So can you forgive her for feeling hurt and angry about that? Can you understand that in her and forgive that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's really good.
Yeah, well, that's a good beginning. And you can extend that to the grandkids. one of the recognitions also, I think, maybe, is that you are whole and complete and fine and wonderful without your grandkids, that you are perfectly fine and good, whether you are with them or not with them. And it would be lovely to be with them. And so, and also I think another thing that can help in a situation like this is by how we define somebody else. Like, right now your thoughts are holding your daughter in place or encouraging her to stay in the same place by saying she won't let me see my grandkids because she's so angry with me. And when we can change our mind and our hearts about the other person and say, I know about my daughter that she's really a forgiving person, that she really can understand, that she really does love me, and that she knows I love her, and that things are opening up between us right now. There have been some real miracles around people changing how they've talked about and how they've thought about someone else in their lives. When we soften and see them as soft and loving, then we can help them actually become that way. So that's another great step that can take place there.
Thank you for reminding me. I've already experienced that and I just forgot.
Yeah, you're welcome. I just had this amazing experience when I was living with a boyfriend for a while, and he seemed like a really cold and withholding person and a lot, and I think I was probably about the same with him. We had a really bad past life, or really difficult, I should say, past life karmic thing that never came up to heal until after we had split up. But one day I just was encouraged to see him as warm and loving and open, and the next morning I was standing there getting ready to go somewhere, and he came and threw his arms around me just out of nowhere, and that was all I could do to keep my jaw from hitting the floor. You know, it was so amazing, and it was just right after I did that, and I never forgot that. I never forgot it.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Beth, for sharing that. And let's right now bless your relationship with you and your daughter, and know that the only truth between you is love, and that both of you are truly divine and loving beings, and that this truth does come forth and blossom between you. And we give thanks for this in advance.
And that you enjoy each other as much as you enjoy your grandchildren.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
And
as much as they enjoy you.
Yeah.
And so we accept this. And knowing that when two or more are gathered together, they may ask what they will and it shall be done.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling, Bev. Thank you for being on, Joanna.
Thank you, Iris.
Thank you for listening to Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. Thank you for applying and using and making miracles in your life with what you hear here. Mm. And, Joanna, I hope you'll come back soon and tell people how they can reach you. We need to wrap it up.
Okay. Well, I have a website, which is ascensionmastery.com, A-S-C-E-N-S-I-O-N, mastery.com. And I have two books and some CDs, and also wonderful master pictures and Buddhist teachings and Sufi and Hindu and Christian and all kinds of beautiful images from and angels and archangels that are on wonderful laminated 5x7 size and larger. And so these are all available on this site. And once again, it's ascensionmastery.com. So love and blessings to everybody.
And may all your dreams come true and be 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible.
Yahoo!
And yee-haw!
Okay, thanks, Iris.
Thank you.
Bye.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Ah, men, ah, women, ah, children, and yee-haw!